Room Pod, part of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'll be your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie.
Hi, groomers. How are you doing today, Barbara?
I'm doing great. We're having lovely weather here in Tucson, Arizona. I'm almost embarrassed to say so.
Oh, don't be so embarrassed. We're having fabulous weather up here. A little wet, but it's like 60 degrees.
We're like 80. Ha ha.
I'd be complaining at 80. I'm not good in the heat. All right, everybody. Well, I want to remind you to be part of the discussion group at Facebook. Just search the Groom Pod. And you can find Barbara on her website, groomblog.blogspot.com, and also shop.bbird.biz, and our emails barbara@thegroompod.com and susy@thegroompod.com. Well, it's been a busy week this week for me. I've added a few new clients, which I hate doing that, but so far so good. I added a little Lhasa Apso who has some anxiety about going to the shop, and I added a gigantic golden retriever, big, huge dog, and then I added another Lhasa Apso, so I'm expanding. I hate that.
why do you hate it?
I don't know. I don't like change. Going to a new house means change. Adding a dog into the schedule means change. I think I'm just a routine kind of person. It's not horrible, but I do hesitate to do it. I'm having some die-offs, so I've got to do it. Anyway, let's start with the show schedule. Groom Expo is right around the corner. I know on Facebook everybody's getting pretty excited about the competitions. I sure wish I was going. But that's February 19th through the 22nd, just around the corner. Then we've got Atlanta Pet Fair. Any news on Atlanta Pet Fair for you?
Not for me. I'm still kind of hanging tight, waiting to hear if show season is going to be able to accommodate my disabilities.
Well, that show is March 5th through March 8th. Then, a little sad news for me about the Northwest Grooming Show. Normally, I would compete, but this year with my diabetic cat, it doesn't look like it's going to be easy for me to get down there and back because it's about an hour away from my house. So sadly, no competing for me this year, but I am going to be filling the coffers with lots of interviews of the shakers and the movers of the industry who show up at our show. So that show in Tacoma is April 23rd through April 26th. Then we've got the All-American Expo in Columbus, Ohio, April 17th through April 19th. And the Pet Boarding and Daycare Expo in Burbank, May 4th through May 7th. And as always, Wisconsin Association of Professional Pet Stylists has their monthly gathering. You can find that online. We've got the VIP Pet Workshop in Alexandria, Virginia with Olga Z. That's April 27th and 28th. And then Olga's webinar is March 24th at 8 p.m. So contact Olga online if you want to attend either of those. So that's our show schedule for this week. So let's hop right over to the table segment, and that's going to be about photography in your shop. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. And I believe that one of the very first groups we were on was Curtis Hanvey's Groom TNT Photography Group. Do you remember that group?
That group still exists, although it's not really happening. But yeah, of course, that was a big group where we, and remember Sandy Blackburn was on that group and shared a lot of pictures, and she was doing a lot of photography, and we all got inspired by each other to various uses of photography in the salon. I love to use photography. So what do you do?
So I use it oftentimes, well, of course, for the Christmas gifts, which earlier this year you gave me permission not to do anymore. But I do Christmas gifts sometimes for memorials. And I know that there are people out there who actually charge for their photography in the salon. That's kind of interesting. I know it has really improved my grooming by being able to see my grooms in an entire different light.
Yeah, I think my camera has been one of my most helpful and most tough coaches for my grooming evolution.
So what camera are you using these days, Barbara?
I'm using my iPhone 6.
Really? That's interesting. Does it take pretty good pictures?
I think it takes very good pictures, and it's a lot easier than using the separate camera and downloading and all of that, because it automatically goes to cloud and shows up on my computer, and the pictures show up on my iPad, and I can do I've got a Frame It app on my iPhone, so I can do little frames, and I like to do that a lot with customers' photographs. Just if I catch a good shot of their pet, I'll put it in a cute frame, put some hearts on it, and then send it in an email to the customer. Yeah, I also use my pictures of my customers' dogs in I use StoreVantage scheduling software. And it's actually a cloud system of scheduling, and it has the ability to attach a picture of the pet on the pet's file, and then when they get their reminder of their appointment, there's their pet. You know, they love that, and it's just a customer relations enhancement tool. So I use it for customer relations and a lot for my own growth, and I use my pictures in my on my blogs and in my webinars and PowerPoints that I do. I have just like thousands of pictures on file.
So I've gone through a few cameras, but I'm still using actually the camera that I started using back when digital cameras first came out, because it seems like a lot of the other ones, even though this one's only a 2.4 pixel Fuji camera, it still takes better pictures than a lot of the smaller, newer cameras do. Although, I had never thought about using my phone for those pictures since it's harder for me to print. But as I get a wireless printer, that might change my methods a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the things I learned very early on is because you sit there and look at me, I'm very fidgety. So when I take pictures, I also fidget and wiggle. I'm a wiggler. So I learned that using a tripod has really helped me in at least my Christmas pictures in the salon. I suppose there's tripods for your phone. I know there's those selfie sticks. I bet there's tripods for the phone.
Yeah, I think you can find some kind of little stands. I think I've seen them around. My biggest thing is that I have a fabric backdrop behind my grooming table so that I'm automatically, without even moving the pet around, I have a decent backdrop. And sometimes it fails me. The dog moves so that its head is off the backdrop or something like that. But I've had this piece of fabric for like over 10 years. I hate to say that because I really need to get a new one. But you know what? It also has helped me identify when people are using my pictures.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I, you know, like everybody knows in my pictures because I have the mottled blue backdrop, and then I also have the handy blue tabletop. And that's a bee bird picture right there.
So doing pictures in my grooming trailer has been a big challenge, but I also have the table divider and a lip system, so I hang my backdrop on my lips, and I just kind of make it fall over the front of the table, and then I set the dog on there, and oftentimes I'll leave the grooming loop on him just to hold him still, and then I can Photoshop out that at the later moment. One thing I did learn also is that it's really important the color of background you choose. Blue's a good one, green's a good one. You just want to use colors that don't come in dogs, or that dogs don't come in. I got that backwards. Especially with black dogs. It's really hard to get the black dogs to show up. Do you have any black dog tricks?
Oh, God, I wish I did. Blacks are the hardest to picture. I have yet to get a good picture of my Scotty grooming, and I think my Scotties are one of my best shots. and they just turn into a black blob on the when you photograph them. They don't define well. So, yeah, blue. I think blues and greens and combinations thereof are the best the best colors to use. You know, and the next time I paint, I'm just going to paint those colors behind my grooming table and create a wall that is camera ready. Yeah, I just want to create a camera ready grooming station.
Do you have your backdrop right behind your table then, and it's always there?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know, and having the fabric there, it also helps deaden the sound a little bit from my dryers and all of the sounds from my tools that I use, because the wall is concrete. So it's good to have a little something to catch the noise.
So I know some people in their shops that have a little bit more room, they actually set up a photography corner and leave it there permanently. And then that's kind of a great idea. Of course, I can't do it in the grooming trailer. Do you ever use props?
I don't. Sandy Blackburn used to use props a lot, very effectively and really cute. And she'd put flowers on them, lays, and you know, like just really cute stuff. You know, I'm mostly photographing to capture the grooming. So I don't use props. Oh, by the way, I just got wind of, but can't remember the name, of a app for your iPhone that is it makes funny sounds so that when you're photographing animals, you can catch their attention.
Hey, cool.
Yeah. Because I have this, this little freak out moment. Where's my squeaky mouse? Where's my squeaky mouse? You know? And then my assistant Yvonne has to stop what she's doing and run around and find the squeaky mouse while I'm trying to take a picture of the darn dog. I find sometimes the photography is more stressful than the grooming.
Oh, it is, definitely.
That's the truth. And I get more angry at the dog when they won't let me get a good picture than if they're fussing about their feet or something. And there I am at the end of the grooming, you know, grumbling and griping at the dog. So I only do photography when I'm in a mind that it's going to tolerate a little bit of that extra frustration of the dog not posing well or whatever, you know?
For me, I have to do the photography in the summertime when it's not really raining out, because there's so much humidity in my grooming trailer that I basically create my own fog bank in there. And if I pull the camera out, the lens fogs over and all you see is a white shape of a ghost. So in about May, I start taking the pictures when I can open the door and let out the fog. And by that time, it's warm in the grooming trailer and the dogs are panting and the tongue is sticking out and I can't get a good shot.
You're laughing because my dog Diva is singing in the background. There's always something, right? I just waggled my finger at her and I think she's slunk off, but she was like she has this wailing sound that is clearly just hers, and it's so mournful, but it's just kind of Diva singing the blues.
Another thing that Facebook has made really popular is sharing your grooming pictures online. So I've been doing a little bit of that, but not a whole lot, because I'm always afraid people are going to criticize me. I know that you put up a lot of pictures online. That's kind of a cool thing. I appreciate your pictures online.
Well, you know, that's because I've gotten rather bold after doing the groom blog. And when I started the groom blog, I just had to take a leap of faith that my grooming was going to be good enough for most people, and it is. You know, I'm not a competition groomer, but I'm at the top of my curve, and my grooming is pretty decent, and I'm happy to share it. And I don't really ask for critique, or you know, unless I just don't. I just share it, you know.
That's a good point. If you don't want people to critique, ask them not to critique. And people are pretty good about that. But if you do want to have them critique it, it's a great way to learn more about what other people see in your grooming. Do you have a photo wall at your shop?
I do have a wall of photos at my shop, and it helps my customers, especially new customers. Well, it serves both. Old customers like to see their dogs up on the wall, and new customers like to have a glimpse of my work and some, perhaps some styling options to choose from. So I have like different Maltese head styles up there. I have a couple of different Shih Tzu styles up there, a couple of different poodles, a good Bichon clip, a pet Bichon, you know. And it also, having my pictures on the wall gives new customers a great deal of confidence in my work, because they just see that I'm a good stylist.
So people love to come in and see their dog's pictures up there too.
Oh yeah, and there's a couple of them that I have pictures on my wall of dogs that are no longer with us, and people come in and say, "Oh, there's Lady." Yeah, you know, they like to see their old baby.
Do you have a portfolio book?
You know, I don't.
I still do.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea. I just have never really gotten it together to put that together. And since I have, you know, about 20 photographs on my wall, it kind of handles that.
Well, it's handy if you're looking for work. For those of you who are moving to a new area or who don't work for yourself, it's really handy to have a nice portfolio. Do you use Photoshop?
I've never mastered Photoshop. I'm envious that you can use Photoshop to take grooming loops out of pictures, because I just had a heck of a time. I even paid for and took an online seminar on Photoshop, and I just, you know, as soon as we go to layers, I just bombed out of Photoshop.
I've got a couple feelings on Photoshop. Generally, I don't Photoshop my grooming portion. Like, the grooming part of the dog stays as my grooming is. Occasionally, yes, I'll take a hair out of an eye, or maybe I'll lighten the picture a little bit. But for the most part, my grooming stays as my grooming. Sometimes I will put little additions in. Like, I'll always put the ear in the picture, and I do it kind of translucently. But it here's a little funny story. When I started with Photoshop, back when I first was messing around with the photography in the grooming salon, my husband had taken 2 years of Photoshop, and I thought, oh, cool, he'll help me do everything. And so I came up to him and I said, so how do I adjust this on my picture? And he pointed at his textbooks and he said, there are my books. You go ahead and you can learn from them. And I thought I was going to have some great help from him, but instead he made me learn it myself. And really now, 6 years later, 7 years later, it's paid off, because I'm really good at Photoshop. So I recommend, if you guys do any photography in your salon that you intend to sell, it's really helpful to have that photography, the Photoshop skills, so you can touch up your photos a little bit. All right. Well, this might be a great time to mention that we are officially booting Amazon off as a sponsor for the moment. We're not sure exactly what happened there. I'm corresponding with them. But the Amazon link will be removed from the website here later on today. However, we do want to welcome PetSmart officially to the website. So the PetSmart banner is up, and I'll invite you guys to click through and do your shopping there, and then we get a little bit of a kickback for the support of the Groom Pod show. And it's a great way to show your support. And I have one other thing to mention, and that is, if you really want to show your support, go to Barbara's shopping site and buy something from her. That money goes right into her pocket with no middleman, and that will really help her out. And she's got great products. As a matter of fact, while I'm thinking about it, I need some happy hoodies. So remind me after we're done recording to order some happy hoodies from you, all right?
I carry only items that I have used and I believe in. They're my endorsed items. It's a selection of grooming tools, equipment, and stuff that I've found to be helpful and that I like to pass on.
And you get Barbara's expert advice if you want it as well. Just, just email her and she'll give you some advice on her products and pretty much anything else we want to chat about. All right. Well, let's move over to the bathtub and talk a little bit about a common problem we all see in our salons, and that is dandruff on the dogs. Now, dandruff's official name is seborrhea. And do you know what dandruff actually is?
Is it flakes? Skin flakes?
It's dead skin cells grouped together because they're kind of sticky when they slough off, and they get big enough so that we can see them because we're always sloughing off skin cells. Mm-hmm. But these ones are thick and flaky, and they stick together, and then we see it as dandruff. It can be caused by just the nature of the pet, like their own physiology can cause them to have dry skin, which in turn will give them dandruff. Also, sometimes diet can cause dandruff. And then the most important one is medical issues, things like allergies, thyroid, diabetes, fungal infections, and occasionally even mites. And sometimes low humidity will cause dandruff. What works to treat dandruff, you might ask? First thing to do is address the diet, you know, and it's good to have these conversations with our clients, especially if you see a pet coming in over and over again and it has dandruff. Ask them what they're feeding their pet and see if you can focus them towards perhaps a higher quality food or a food that has more oil in it. And speaking of oil, sometimes a fatty acid supplement will help with this. So something like Lipiderm, or even if you go to Costco or the drugstore and get a human fish oil supplement and then you can break it over their food, sometimes that will help the dry skin and eliminate some of the dander. Also, if you have a suspicion that there's a medical issue, please direct them to their veterinarian, because really a lot of this stuff needs to be seen by a vet and ruled out if nothing else. So send them to the vet. And vets do recommend that dogs and cats that have pet dander or a lot of dandruff or seborrhea should at least be bathed once or twice a month. Generally, they recommend a sulfur shampoo, a salicylic acid shampoo, an oatmeal shampoo.
We had an interesting conversation in one of the Facebook groups this last week on whether or not to use Head & Shoulders dandruff shampoo on pets. And it seems that a groomer raised the question because the pet owner came in and said that the vet suggested that the groomer use Head & Shoulders. And was that appropriate? You know, there are pet dandruff shampoos. There's plenty of them. And almost all of them are modeled or formulated after, similar to, same as human dandruff shampoos. So there's going to be probably less difference between a dog dandruff shampoo and a human dandruff shampoo than some other forms of shampoo. And I feel that if the vet, a lot of our older seasoned veterinarians learned a long time ago to improvise with products, because they started practice before there was a big selection in grooming or in veterinary medicine of specialized products for pets. So these are the vets that are recommending, oh, just use some Head & Shoulders, or some of them are still even recommending dish soap for allergic pets. It's surprising. Yep. They haven't grown as the choices have grown. My own feeling is that it's good to have something on hand for dandruff. If you don't have anything on hand, Head & Shoulders is not a bad option. It's not going to harm the pet. But if you want to have a more professional image and feel more confident in what you're offering, it's good to have a pet shampoo. One of the newest ones that's out is Chris Christensen has a colloidal silver shampoo. This is for your holistic groomers. It's an important product to know about, because colloidal silver is kind of a very interesting substance. I haven't used this yet, but I am going to order some with my next Chris Christensen order, and I'll probably be offering it in the shopping cart, and we're going to see if it helps with flakiness.
What are the properties of colloidal silver? I've never used it.
Well, colloidal silver is highly antifungal and antibacterial, and bacteria and fungi cannot exist in the presence of silver. So colloidal silver just uses a few parts per million. Like, I think this shampoo uses 22 parts per million. And so basically it's water with this colloidal silver has been infused in it. There's a specialized process that you can use to obtain your colloidal silver. It's available in a wide range of human items and even by itself.
I've seen it advertised, but I never knew really what it did or what it was.
So what I feel is that colloidal silver is something worth exploring. It certainly is very safe. You know, like one of its properties is that it's just completely non-toxic. So that's what makes it a very safe alternative. There are also medicated shampoos that are imitations of veterinary products that are available from companies like Davis Manufacturing, has probably salicylic acid things. The one dandruff shampoo that I really advise against is tar and sulfur.
Boy, that's an old school one.
Yeah, and it's not because of the sulfur, but coal tar has been firmly established to have a link to cancer in low-dose repetitive applications. So one application of a coal tar shampoo is not going to be toxic, but if used over a period of time, and the critical element is that it's found to be carcinogenic in low doses. So coal tar shampoo is certainly low dose. So that's one of the very few ingredients that I have on my personal don't use list.
I think I'm going to add it to my personal don't use list as well. Let's take a break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back at the reception desk to talk about scheduling.
Hey everyone, it's your good pal Kev from the White Dragon Podcast Network, shamelessly interrupting your enjoyment of this tremendous WDPN podcast you're listening to basically shill to you. Bear with me here, folks, this will be brief. I know what you're all thinking, you're loving the tremendous audio spectacle currently delighting your auditory senses, and you're lamenting the fact that the stars of the WDPN are only around for you 1 hour per week, right? Well, you're wrong. We've got a whole slew of shows that will delight, entertain, and captivate you all week long. And the best part is that we've got something for everyone. Are you looking for something your whole family can enjoy? Well, look no further than Two Men and the Mouse, the flagship show of WDPN focusing on the magic and wonder of Walt Disney World. Pete Mandel and myself share our love of the most magical place on Earth as we count down the latest and greatest news of the week before diving deep into a featured topic. Maybe you're a fan of geek TV and movies. You love the worlds established in shows such as Arrow, Gotham, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Doctor Who, and so many more. Well, for you, we've got the Geek Watchtower. I'm joined each week by a special guest host as we review the latest installments of our favorite geek-centric media. Sometimes, though, the universe of geek pop culture can be a little too all-consuming and you need to go broad. That's why we've got Bat Squad Radio, hosted by the YouTube comedy trio known as the New Jersey Bat Squad. You'll hear me as Kev L, along with Bat Dave and Spider Denny, detailing the goings-on throughout all of geekdom. Perhaps you're more of a sports entertainment fan. Well, WDPN's got that covered as well. Step inside the world of professional wrestling with Ring Ropes Radio, the all-new pro wrestling podcast of WDPN. Kevin Clark and I present to you all the viewpoints of two 10-plus years veterans of the wrestling business and supplement that with special interviews with the stars of wrestling's past, present, and future. Want more information on where you can find this plethora of internet audio entertainment? Well, head over to Facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and give us a like for all the latest news and new shows and episodes. Okay, I'm all done. I told you it would be quick. Well, this wasn't exactly quick, but whatever. Back to the show. Enjoy it, and thank you for listening to the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Customer service problem? Let's talk about it at the reception desk. Okay, well, here we are at our reception desk, and it's time to schedule your next day's worth of grooming. So there's so many different options and choices you can make when you're scheduling, and some of the variables you need to consider are whether you work alone or you work with others, and do you have a receptionist and or a bather. First thing we're going to talk about is doing dogs one at a time. And this is the way I do them in the grooming trailer. And I'll say this is a very specialized way to groom, and you can't really use passive drying methods with it. Like, it's not easy for me to put a dog in a cage and just wait it out until they're dry, because then I'm just standing there. Have you ever done the one at a time dog grooming?
Well, I worked in a mobile for 6 months. That's all I lasted. And it wasn't for lack of passive grooming, but I would be uncomfortable giving up my passive drying methods. You know, last Saturday, I had two of those kind of old dog seizures over the noise of the blow dryer. In one day, we had two of them, and one dog wasn't even on the table. He was in a crate close to the table. And all of a sudden, my little buddy that I've been grooming this dog for like 13 years, and he starts screaming and wailing and all stressed out. And Crystal was using the blow dryer, not even with the cone nozzle, just next to him. And that was troublesome. I like to have the cage drying option for some of my older or more sensitive pets. We had two Maltese, a Maltese and a Maltese mix in yesterday. Those dogs are so horrible drying on the table that the option is to dry them in cages under fans. They just fight and battle with you, and they're distressed. So that would be the hardest part of having a mobile practice for me, would be the lack of passive drying.
Yeah, when I do cats, I bring in a crate. I do point my HV dryer into the crate, and I let them sit there with it backed a little bit away. But that's about the only passive drying I can do, because there's nothing else I can work on. Another hassle is when the phone rings and you're doing dogs one at a time. You actually, you know, if your phone's right next to you, you can turn and grab it. But if it's not next to you, then you have to put your dog up and go get the phone, or if somebody walks in the door. So those are some of the challenges with one at a time dogs when they're coming into a shop. I don't have that problem in the grooming trailer, because I can reach pretty much everything from the middle of the trailer. So no big deal there. It is, however, a very specialized thing. So if you're in a shop and you're going to do dogs one at a time, you can advertise yourself as such. And then you can charge a little bit more for that in and out service or express service that you're providing.
You know, because you're going to be limiting the number of dogs that you can do per day, and you really need to ask for more for that express one-on-one service.
Absolutely, and it's a niche market. People are looking for that type of service, and they are willing to pay for it. So when you're doing dogs one at a time, another issue is how to fit in your bath dogs, because it kind of messes up your schedule a little bit to have a bath dog. You can't, as long as you know they're coming in, then you're fine, you can schedule for them, but you can't do walk-in type bath dogs when you're doing dogs one at a time. So another way you can do dogs is by staggering them. Staggering their arrival times, and also maybe staggering their departure times as well. So when I worked at the vet hospital, I had three dogs come in at 8:30, three dogs come in at 11:30, and three dogs come in at 2:30. And then I had walk-ins and baths as I could fit them in, depending on what dogs were scheduled into those regular spots. Have you ever worked that way?
Well, I work kind of that way. And by the way, I don't take walk-ins and baths. I mean, I take walk-in nails, and that's it. But I rarely take walk-in appointments or walk-in bath-only dogs. I'm a pretty much by-appointment-only business, and I stagger my appointments, and I kind of, it depends on the dogs. I like to clump them and get at least three in around between 8:30 and 9:00, And then I'll have an opening for a 10 or an 11 o'clock dog. And then try to have them out by 12:30. And three or four more come in at 12:30 or 1. So that's pretty much, and those afternoon dogs, I like them. They'll come in mostly at 1 o'clock and then out at the very end of the day. Although I really do accommodate my customers and my dogs. So like yesterday we had Yoshi. Yoshi is a screamer. He comes in at 10 and goes out at 11. And there's no waiting around. Peter, his owner, knows to come right back on the dot. He walks in at 11 and Yoshi yelling away. So, you know, we accommodate those people. I have people who drive a long way, you know, an hour and a half for my service. And I try to give them a quick turnaround, even though it may be an interruption that I would rather not have for them to pick up soon. So I do a lot of mixed type of scheduling, just trying to run a very personalized and accommodating type of service.
So I think the staggered intake works pretty well if you've got a bather as well, because you can get your bather started on things, even though I've never had a bather. I've heard tell you can get your bather started on things and kind of work more in a systematic method, using your bather and all that. Same with a receptionist. If you've got a receptionist and you don't have to put everything down to go check in your dogs or check out your dogs, then the staggered grooming time works really well because you can just continue working away in the back. It's also really good for passive drawing because you know which dogs you can just set in and work on another dog. It's kind of handy that way. I really do miss that aspect of the staggered grooming. How do you send them home? Do you call the owners?
Mostly I set a time, and some people I will call, and if they're like late for their appointment, then their out time is on call. Or if they're one of those out of town customers that are just like shopping around, going to Costco or something while I'm grooming the dog, I'll give them a call when their dog is ready. But most of mine are set out times. And sometimes I have to call and ask for an extension.
Right.
I've learned to do that rather than just totally stress out because I'm not making it and have them come at their scheduled time and I haven't done the dog's head yet or something. So I coach my people not to come before their time. Don't come early, please.
Right.
If I think they're an early, they're going to come early for their pickup, I do the head first.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, it is a good plan because it's much easier to do a leg when they're jumping around and mommy's here than it is for doing the face. And if they're too much leaping around because mom has come 20, 30 minutes later, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yep. I know that story.
Yeah, you're done.
So with the staggered intake times, you can also have staggered go home times. So if people have a special request, like they need to pick up by 2, it makes it a little bit easier to be able to fit them in when you've got that staggered, when you've got dogs coming in and out all throughout the day. Now, in some of those really big groom shops, they take them all in the morning. And that works well if you've got bathers and groomers, receptionists and cleaning staff and just a big, big old kind of a salon. Then taking them all in the morning works pretty well. It makes it easy to fit in baths and walk-ins if needed. And oftentimes these kind of take them all in at once shops all go home, say, after 4 o'clock or something like that. Have you ever worked in that situation?
I have. I learned to groom in a situation like that. It was a boarding grooming kennel, and all of the dogs came at 8:30, and nobody went home until 4. And the boss would check in the dogs at 8:30, and he would take off. And he would take off and do whatever he did. And he would come back afternoon and finish all the dogs by four. And it was very nerve-wracking. And I'll tell you, I just assumed not keep dogs all day. Because it was a boarding situation, it was like better set up with kennels in the back where you could put dogs that were done. But I would rather not keep a dog longer than 4 hours at the most. I think people get really nervous about that, and they think their dog is suffering. And if it is a dog that I need to keep for 4 hours, I try to go for three at the most, and we'll offer to take the dog for a potty break.
Yeah, that's one of the big things, is if you've got dogs for longer than 4 hours, you have to make sure that they've got access to water and also that they can go to the bathroom. And we all know that access to water after the dog grooming can be a disaster in the grooming crate, because if they spill it, then you've got a wet dog if they're not on a crate.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I think 3 hours, 4 hours max. I've never worked in a situation where all the dogs came in at once, so I don't have much experience about that. But I know that in that type of situation, then you can throw in an early out for extra cash. So, you know, if somebody wants their dog done start to finish and you have multiple groomers and the ability to do so, then you can charge them a little bit extra and get that dog done in the express manner and offer that as a service as well.
Yeah. Now, it really has the all in at once and all out, giving you uninterrupted work time. And that's why I'm trying nowadays to cluster mine a little bit more. And try to get my morning dogs done by to allow for the window between 12:30 and 1 to be my turnover time. And it's also our little lunch break. So we get dogs done by 12:30 and we bring the next batch in at 1. Then between 12:30 and 1, people are coming to get their dogs and bringing their dogs. And that's just kind of our little turnover place. Instead of having dogs come in at 1, 2, 3, but even so, I do have some dogs that don't come until 3 o'clock because of their owner's time. I pride myself at accommodating my clients, and it's one of the reasons that I have such a loyal clientele.
I do the same thing. I've always said from day one, I am not it by any means the best groomer out there. I am an adequate groomer and the dogs are clean and happy, but I excel at customer service. I'm really, really good at that. And that's why people bring me back. It's because of the customer service aspect. It's certainly not my grooming, although my grooming is fine. But, you know, that's, yeah, definitely. One of those things you can offer as far as scheduling and when you're in a shop that you can bring all the dogs in at once is the pickup and drop-off service. And I know you've done that before. I heard a story about that on an earlier podcast.
Right. I've done some of that. That's a very specialized service. And you got to really have your act together to do that safely and professionally.
Yeah, I imagine you'd want to be real careful transporting other people's pets. But as far as a specialized service, you could certainly consider adding that to the arsenal. So all of my dogs are pre-booked, which is really helpful for my scheduling, especially as a mobile. So whenever they're finished with their appointment and I'm writing up their cards, then I give them an appointment card with the next appointment. And it's easier for me to cancel an appointment and move it than it is for me to find them a spot 4 weeks later. Do you pre-book your appointments?
Yeah, I'd say probably about, nearly all of my appointments are pre-booked. I only have a handful of people that are unable because of their lives to pre-book, and then they have to take their chances that I could be booked 3 weeks out. And
same story here.
You know, but it kind of depends on the dog, and some of my people that don't pre-book have easy little dogs to do, and it's not a big deal. But they only have to learn once or twice that when they can't get in to pre-book. And I'd say probably a good 85% of my dogs are pre-booked.
Out of my 100 houses, there's probably five that I don't pre-book. Everybody else gets pre-booked. Now, there's a handful of them that move their appointment pretty regularly, but I'd rather they do that than just not have an appointment at all. The only people I don't pre-book are the dreaded new client appointments, because because I'm always afraid that they might not like my grooming or the service that I provide, and I'd rather not have them have to call and cancel and then all feel bad about it. So the very first time I say, make sure you give me at least 2 weeks leeway when you're ready to do the dog again, but I'm not going to pre-book you this time, but I will let them know that in the future they will be pre-booked. So that's how I work it for my scheduling, and it certainly helps me. Well, it doesn't help me keep on time, but it definitely helps me plan my life.
I would encourage you, Susie, my BFF, to go ahead and pre-book those new people. They can always leave a message.
It's true.
You know, it's your own lack of confidence that's showing up, and because the chances are they're not going to be able to think ahead 2 weeks, and they're going to... I just start them right out. I just let them know. They say, well, how often should I have them groomed? And I'll just say, like, well, I like a four-week schedule myself. May I book an appointment for you now so that you can have a slot saved?
And,
okay. You know, then they're right in the mode.
Okay, because I'm going to a new appointment today.
Oh, I have good. Try it. Just play with it. Try it.
Okay. God. It's a little King Charles Spaniel, and the dog's 9 months old, and they actually asked me if they needed to bathe the dog before I came. I thought that was so cute. All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this week on the Groom Pod. And I want to remind you guys to go to our website to get any show notes we might have, and also to click through our PetSmart banner and do a little bit of food shopping or whatever else you need, and then that helps support the show. And remember to listen to the White Dragon Podcast Network shows. You can link through those on our website as well, up on the top in the navigation bar. Anything you want to say, Barbara?
No, have a great week. Make a lot of money. Make some people happy.
Okay, bye everybody. Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening, and see you real soon.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.